I'd also like to say thank you to Jody Wilson, the director at the World War II Museum, the American Experience in Gettysburg. They are going to be hosting our third annual Women Veterans Day Expo. They hosted it this year. It was a great time. Looking forward to them being there again. And I want to say thank you to Lanco Federal Credit Union for being a big support. And if I'm missing any of our other sponsors, I want to apologize. You know, I'm doing this podcast. I'm a little bit in the nervous side. So I think I got the main ones. And I know I already said thank you to the Northern Lancaster County Chamber of Commerce, but I want to give a shout out to Liz Ackerman. She's the executive director of the chamber, and Tara Zilling. Both of them have been phenomenal, and the chamber has been instrumental in our growth. And I can't say enough about Northern Lancaster County Chamber of Commerce and all the support that we've got from all the businesses in there. So thank you again, and I look forward to hearing what this thing turns out to be.
Welcome to the American Grown Podcast, hosted by Austin Sullivan. The American Grown Podcast will focus on people from different walks of life and their journey to where they are now. Now, turn up your volume and settle in for a great episode.
This is the American Grown Podcast, recorded inside the ColorTech Creative Solutions Studios. This episode is brought to you by these sponsors.
Navigating the college journey can be overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be. At College Knowledge Foundation, we're here to guide students and families every step of the way. From choosing the right college to crafting standout essays and understanding financial aid, our virtual sessions and free consultations provide the tools you need to succeed. Join the growing community of students and families who've discovered how to take control of their college journey. Visit College Knowledge Foundation to learn more, book a session, or explore our free resources today.
Hostler Engraving is your local source for unique, quality-driven laser-engraved gifts for all occasions. Place an order today by visiting our Facebook page at Hostler Engraving. You won't be disappointed.
Haynes Auto Detailing, run by owner Josh Haynes, offers a professional service that is sure to have your vehicle shining from wheel to wheel. My wife and I both trust Josh with our personal vehicles, and believe me, with two kids, the back seats tend to look like a hot mess. But after a trip to Haynes Auto Detailing, the vehicles look better than brand new, both inside and out. Message Haynes Auto Detailing on Facebook or call 717-679-3673 to get your vehicle looking right today. In this episode, we have Michael Cahill, U.S. Army, Pennsylvania Army, National Guard veteran, currently working full-time as an executive director of operations for Team Jennifer Cahill Charities. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad we could get together, and I appreciate you were like 15, 20 minutes early. Thank you, because that means a lot. What I like about that is it shows that you care about what we're going to talk about today, and it shows that you care about your time, my time, because sometimes people don't, and they're 20 minutes late, and then I'm like, okay, well, we're kind of starting off on a wrong foot, you know? So I appreciate you being early. I just wanted to mention that, and glad that we're here today and getting to talk about, you know, you and your late wife, Jennifer.
Thank you.
Yeah. What was your childhood like? What was it like growing up for you? What did your mom and dad do? That kind of thing.
I was born in Redondo Beach, California. I have a brother and two sisters. My brother was also born in California. My sisters were born here. We moved to Pennsylvania in 1974. My dad worked for WIOV and the Effort of Review and was Navy Reserve. He went full-time Navy Reserve. He was a recruiter and did that for 28 years.
Wow.
Parents divorced in the mid-80s. My dad moved back to California, finished his time in the Navy, got remarried. I have two stepsisters that are just phenomenal. They're also living in California. I lost my dad in 2018. Played baseball, football, swimming in creeks, and jumping from one pickup truck to another, running down 222, you know, all that crazy kid stuff that we do.
That's great. Wow. Do you remember, were you very little when you moved to PA? Like, what?
Yeah, I was 4 or 5 years old.
Okay, so you didn't really know.
I know that growing up, I grew up out here. I grew up as a Notre Dame fan. And
there we go.
Got to put that plug in for their win last night.
Yeah, they look good. Yeah, up until the end there, we were talking about that prevent defense.
Yeah, yeah. The best that I could attribute it to, I mean, the first game I remember, NFL game I remember, was the 1974 Thanksgiving Day game. Cowboys, Redskins, rookie named Clint Longley came in, second half. Cowboys were down. Staubach got knocked out with a concussion. Longley brought him back. They won the game.
Yeah.
That's the first game that I remember. Longley was traded the next year to the Dolphins. You know, been a Dallas Cowboy fan all my life, and I'm proud to admit that.
What is this? You acquired an axe?
Act 235.
Yeah, what does that mean?
Act 235 is a licensed security agent in the state of in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. It allows to be armed security. And in the event that there's a crime, we can offer section of crime code that was violated for the police reports, and then we turn state's witness as professional witness for the state.
Huh.
So, for example, you could hire someone who's Act 235 as armed security for your business. If there's a crime, we don't have the right to detain, but we can say, this is what happened, this is what we did, contact the police, tell the police, this is what they did, this is what we witnessed. We can detain on certain, to a certain area, but the police have to be contacted immediately, and you know, I can't just hold somebody here unless they didn't do something, and I can't cuff them or anything like that. But, you know, at the time that I had it, we could, if I witnessed a shoplifting event, for example, we could do all we could to keep them on site till the police arrived.
Okay, okay. So so the Act 235 is like private security in layman. That's what it is pretty much, right? It's like a private security detail?
I worked for Brinks.
Okay.
Armored Car Services.
The money trucks.
Right.
You know, that's what I picture. I don't know. Right. Yeah, yeah.
So Brinks, Loomis, the Wells Fargo trucks, those guys are either Act 120, which is police officer, or Act 235.
Okay.
Typically.
Okay. Wow. And growing up, were you always thinking the service?
My dad was Navy. I was rebellious. I went Army.
Okay. Yeah. I've heard those stories before. Yeah.
And I love the Army. You know, one individual that stands out is a Sergeant Whiteman. Sergeant Whiteman, to this day, still contact with him. He's an admin on a Facebook group that I have. Phenomenal individual. And honestly, I don't think I'd be half the man I am today if not for him being so doggone tough on me when I was in the military. I mean, he'd rag me hard. Conversation years later, he said, Mike, he said, you know, I rode you hard. I know I did. He said, but I also knew that you were the one guy that you had so much potential. All I wanted to do was try to see you tap into it. And here you are.
Wow. And he had a pretty big impact on your life, it sounds like.
Yep. So, you know, thanks, Sarge. You know, you've impacted my life in ways that you never know.
That's awesome. And you serve 14 and a half years, roughly.
Yep.
What was that like, that experience?
Well, a recruiter takes you to, you know, gets you tested. You got to do a physical and all that. Find out where you qualify. Now, you know, I was a high school dropout, and I was rather intoxicated when I took the test.
Really?
Yeah. I scored a 37. I needed a minimum of a 32.
Oh, you aced it then.
I still scored in the top 3% of the nation in mechanical aptitude, and I went infantry. I went 11 Charlie, and I loved it. The guys to the left of me and the guys to the right of me were just great group of guys. Had a lot of fun with them, a lot of laughs. I ran the 81-millimeter mortar is what I did. My qualification scores, you know, I'd say that I was one of the best gunners that the Army had. My qualification scores were anywhere from 14 to 37 seconds under regulation. When I got assigned to my unit, my first duty was to train the old guys, the old mortar crews, on the new gun systems with the 81-millimeter mortar.
Okay.
Completely revamped the system. Went from a bag charge to a nitro charge and things like that. And that's, God, 20 years ago? 20, no, God, 4 years ago. Holy cow. So I really struggled with school. And the best thing to do was to just go to work and give back to this country. My dad, my dad served in the Navy, Vietnam. Wow. Grandfather on both my mother and my father's side served World War II. Great grandfather on my mom's side was World War I. Great grandparents in the Civil War and all the way back to the Revolution. There were brothers, Jonathan and Jefferson Strom. I don't remember which one it was off the top of my head. One of those brothers was part of the Second Continental Congress of the United States.
Wow.
So, you know, family ties go
deep.
Deep.
Yeah, you have a rich history. You know, your time in the service, you were...
11 Charlie Mortimer.
11 Charlie Mortimer, thank you. I picture, and maybe other people might, the mortars where it's two guys and it's set up on the ground. It has like a stand and you throw the mortar in and it you know, shoots miles away and you got to calculate. So what is, describe that, like what does that look like? What is a mortarman?
There's typically a three-man crew at the minimum, 3 to 5 when I was in. The 81 millimeters is what we used. It's a gunner, an assistant gunner, and an ammo bearer. Ammo bearer's responsibilities start low, come up. His responsibilities place the aiming stakes, prep rounds, assistant gunner, he's shifting the bipod and helping tweak, making sure that things are level and the fire fan's in and so forth. And the gunner is the one that's on the bubble, getting the sights lined up and ready to shoot. Assistant gunner or ammo bearer, either one will hang and fire the round. Gunner gets back on the sight, levels it up, makes sure you're still on, sends the second round down.
Okay. That's crazy. Those are loud, too, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
When go, boom! Yeah. How's your hearing? You hear what? Pretty well. You're hearing pretty well, so, oh, man. Wow.
And fortunately, I got injured in 1993 getting ready for second Gulf. I was never deployed. I never made it in country. In 2003... when Iraq happened, my last duty in the military was to help my brother's pack to go to Iraq. We went from the 2nd 111th Infantry to the 1st of the 213th ADA, which I never got into the air defense. ADA is Air Defense Artillery. So I never got in to do anything after the changeover. I was considered non-deployable. I was doing TDY assignments to Kimbrough Army, at the time, Kimbrough Army Hospital and Walter Reed Army Medical Center, getting surgeries done and things like that. Surgeries on the leg,
yeah.
Shoulder reconstruction, carpal tunnel release, 12 surgeries directly related to time in the service.
Time in the service. I was going to say, if you don't mind me asking, is there a certain moment or do you remember what it was that you're like, I'm messed up, I got major issues? I mean, you know, 12 roughly surgeries.
I mean, the day it happened, it was bad. We were assigned an E6 type. I was 2-gun Bravo Company, base gun for the battalion, so everybody lays in off of my fire fan. We had an E6 type that was assigned to our unit who was Bravo Company, 2-gun, base gun for his company. And when we set things up, we kind of put me to an ammo bearer position so that I could train him on the new gun. Ammo bearers have a lot of downtime. So as an ammo bearer in their thinking, I'm going to be able to work closer with him setting up the site, making sure the fire fans are put in, and we're at Fort Drum, New York, running through terrain that was about waist high. Couldn't judge the rises and falls. My foot came down on the side wall of a rut. My heel hit the bottom of that rut. The leg hyperextended with a 180-degree pivot on the knee. Come down on a rock. Shoulder popped. When I came back, I went to grab a crate, get the ammo ready for the incoming
fire mission. And what are those weigh? They can't be light. I mean,
They're maybe four pounds on a round, 3-4 pounds on a round. So you got 3 rounds in a crate. Go to pick it up. My shoulder dropped, hanging down to here. And
jeez.
Yeah, that was bad. And I hardly walk with the twist on the knee. It turned into a limp. Finished the mission, though. Had the ambo called to us, and that didn't hurt near as bad as what it did when they put that thing back in place.
Oof.
And when they popped that shoulder back in, they put me in a sling, did the checks, and got attached to the 74th Mobile Army Surgical Hospital. They were in one of the open fields, and I'll tell you what, man, in 1993, that was one of the most incredible things to this day that I've ever seen. So shout out to the 74th, if they're still around. I don't know. They may have disbanded. excuse me. At the time, it was Captain Sharon Cahill, which is funny because my mom's name was Sharon.
No. That's wild.
found out that we weren't any relation.
Really?
No. But had the same name. I haven't talked to her since. Haven't, you know, nothing. Haven't kept in anything like that. I don't know whatever happened to her career.
Yeah.
But the irony of having the same name as my mom.
It's wild.
Yeah. But she was one of the most caring, well-mannered, reassuring individuals I've ever met. And with that, with the 74th having that quality of care throughout, was amazing. And I'll describe that to you. You walk into a CP, which is basically a big tent. They have a big blue like paper floor laid out over top of the grass, and everything is cut. And that's their ER.
That's the ER.
That's the ER.
That's the sterile ER.
So you're
ER,
coming
you know.
In, you're getting triaged, you got the bedsides on cots with the curtains that pull around you. And, you know, each cot had one of those. Tubes, like in E.T., the big tube that came out of the door at the end, you know. Yeah, they had those kinds of tubes going to different trailers that are set up with X-ray, CAT scans, MRI, surgical rooms, and thing was incredible, absolutely incredible, and that group of people and what they did was just amazing. I spent most of that, the rest of my time on that stateside deployment with them. I was reassigned to 328th Forward Support Battalion. For a couple of days, then sent back to my unit and came home with them.
Mike, I want to take a sip break real quick if we could. This sip break is brought to you by Garage Beer. From the garage to the cooler, whether you're on the golf course, just got done cutting your lawn on a hot summer day, or spending some quality time on the grill, grab yourself a Garage Beer. It's just beer-flavored beer. Your late wife, Jennifer. Let's talk about her, because obviously that is a huge part of your life and what you're doing now.
Absolutely. So I met Jennifer March 2011. Seeing Jen, the first thing I noticed about her was a smile. I mean, it just made the room a whole lot brighter. And I knew there was no way that a girl like that was going to even give a guy like me a second look. Took me 2 months to talk to her. You know, I mean, other than a, you know, pass and go hello, we went to the same club. It was a more of a non-drinking establishment, so social club. You pass each other, say hi, and, you know, that kind of thing. And met her in March. Really didn't have a conversation with her till May. Went on our first date in June and got married July 5th. March 2011, first date June 2011. 2 weeks later, we got married. Spent 10 and a half years together before she passed away from cancer. She was an Air Force veteran, and she served 1995-1999. And she was a communications specialist, is what she did. Back in the day, before we had the push-button camera phones and that kind of stuff,
yeah,
she would coordinate video conferences with like 150 different countries. Very, very intelligent, very talented. She was a MST survivor, which is military sexual trauma. She was raped while in the Air Force. Developed a PTS from that, PTSD. I don't like to call that a disorder because it's a traumatic injury. It's a brain injury that combat, assault, those kinds of things trigger that injury. If it's not treated as an injury, there's key components that are being missed. Medication simply numb. At least in my experience and what I've witnessed and seen.
Yeah, please.
Medications tend to numb the symptoms. The only way that PTS is really dealt with and really beneficial is through intense therapies. Talking about those issues and what happened, and some people don't want to because it's too hard, it's too traumatic, it's too painful, and they just can't get through that. And it's okay. From that come other issues such as depressions and anxiety disorders and so forth, which those are treated with medications. But when that injury, that traumatic brain injury, so to speak, psychological injury, the only way to process through that is to discuss it, talk about it. And that was a tough place to navigate with her in some areas. She got past that. You know, she's getting things on the right track, and she was diagnosed with cancer in 2020, early in 2020. She had started her chemo, and she started her chemo early in 2020. I want to say, like April, sometime in that time frame. Several months had she'd undergone a couple of treatments, and she started having issues. She had a colorectal cancer and was having constipation issues. We took her to the VA to get checked out, see if there's anything they could do.
Yeah.
The VA wanted to do an emergency colostomy. Demanded a second opinion. And I live in Akron. It's normally a good 40-45 minute drive to get to the VA. I was there in 20 minutes. By the time I got there, they had her cap on, ready to take her to they were going to take her to Hershey for surgery.
Okay.
Demanded a second opinion and demanded that she be taken to Lancaster General Hospital. Lancaster General Hospital is affiliated with Andy Barginger Cancer Institute. They were ranked 5th in the nation at the time. They were the best place to go. And Dr. Javari was her oncologist, and just a phenomenal, phenomenal doc. She walked us through the process. They did a exploratory under anesthesia to check things out. She didn't need the colostomy.
Oh, and they were going to...
They said she needed a heavy dose of Miralax and water. Jeez. And she had came out of this surgery. And of course, this is in the midst of COVID.
Right.
So I can't just go in and visit her anytime I want to. And so she was in the hospital for a few days for that. But when she had come out of the anesthesia, I was in the room. They let me go in with her to see her afterwards. And I was only allowed in there for so long. And she had started going into convulsions. And I got a hold of the nurse, brought the nurse in. They got things settled down. She didn't get the correct meds, weren't transferred. Some of the medications that she was on weren't conveyed. Doses were gotten wrong. And I could be somewhere in just the, because she was on a long list of meds. Easy to have that happen. And I understand it. I'm not putting fault anywhere. This is just what happened. One of the things that didn't make the trip for the medication list was the pain meds. So now she's in there for 3 days without the pain meds. So she's going into withdrawal from that. The psych meds that she was on, she's not getting the right doses or the wrong meds, or couple that with the anesthesia, the stress of the body going through.
Yeah.
She went into what they called acute withdrawal. Complicated acute withdrawal, which was immediate from what she was dealing with. And she had to have it, you know, be sedated. And they got her meds straightened out, and she was fine. The next day she'd gone non-responsive. From all that.
She'd gone
into convulsions. And with all these other issues, the stress on the body, she'd gone non-responsive for 24 hours. While she was non-responsive, it's when I met Dr. Jafari for the first time. And she asked me if I know what her condition is. I said, yeah. I said, she's stage 4. The doc at the VA told us that, you know, with her age, that she's young enough that we got the cancer soon enough that they could treat it and she'd live a long and happy life. Dr. Jafari looked at me and said, no, her cancer is treatable. It's not curable and it's not survivable. And that hit me pretty hard. You know, of course, we start asking questions and, you know, wanting to know what the courses are and what we can do. And now it's about prolonging life and giving her the best quality of life that we possibly could.
Yeah, no, take your time.
The next day, she had, you know, started responding. She was upgraded from non-responsive to incoherent and delusional. About a week later, she was upgraded again. A couple of days later, she was upgraded again to incoherent and then upgraded to delusional. She was in for 2 weeks total. And that Friday, they said, we want to send her home. She's done a 180-degree turnaround.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's great. 100. Wow. Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, let's give it another day or two, and I'll come in the next day. Well, something happened that they couldn't get her discharged that day, so she ended up coming home July 5th of 2020, which was our anniversary. It was our 9th wedding anniversary that she came home. And our 9th wedding anniversary, we spent in the bathroom at our house with me shaving her head. There's a video on our Facebook page of that. And that's how we spent our nights, because she was losing her hair to chemo. But I tell you what, she rocked that bald head.
Yeah. I saw some pictures on Facebook. I did some research and everything, and, you know, yeah.
So it was while she was non-responsive that I started, and after getting that news, that I started looking into our recourse, you know, what resources and recourse we had for preparing for end of life with Jen. And we found out that when we enrolled in the VA, they go through the package real quick and talk you this, and you know, and you hear $10,000 death benefit, burial benefit. So you think that that's part of the benefits that we're getting right. with the VA.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Turns out that that's something that needs to be applied for, and it wasn't explained or broken down. So all these years, we're believing that we have a $10,000 yeah. burial benefit. We didn't. Friends and family started raising the funds for us, you know, take care of those final expenses. Started putting up a Facebook page that we could keep people abreast of different things that we were doing, sub sales and that kind of stuff, just to raise the funds. And because we created that Facebook page, there were other people that were seeing it because it's public that were reaching out to Jen, myself, saying, hey, you know, I'm a veteran. I'm in the same position. I just found out that my cancer's terminal. I have no idea what I'm going to do. Your story's giving us hope. Thanks for sharing with us.
Yeah, right, right.
You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And we were down, we went to the Underground Bike Week, the bike week that wasn't in Ocean City, Maryland. There was a woman veteran from Michigan. It was an Army veteran that messaged Jen telling her that same story. You know, you have so much support. It's amazing. Your story has given me hope. You know, I've just found out that I have terminal cancer. I don't know what I'm going to do. And thank you for sharing it. It's given me the hope and the strength to face yeah. these things.
Which is huge. You know what I mean? You're having an impact.
Jen looked at me and said, I want this to continue for them, the fundraising efforts and stuff that we were doing. So we looked into what we had to do. We started a nonprofit, and December 8th, 2020 is when that nonprofit was officially started. We are a 501c3, and so it's, you know, tax deductible donations.
Right, yep.
One of our biggest things that we do is a Women Veterans Day. Women Veterans Day is June 12th, 1948. President Truman signed the Women's Armed Services Integration Act, allowing women to enlist in the regular branches of the armed services. Prior to 1917, the Army Reserve created the WANC. It was WANC, Women's Army Nursing Corps. So that reservists, but they're recognized as military through the Women's Army Nursing Corps. That's the only way that a woman could be recognized. Which is ironic, 1923, the first woman was treated in the VA. So here we are 100 years later, yeah. Women's health is 13 years old, and women's reproductive health is 3 or 4 years old. 100 years later. 1942, the WAC was created, Women's Army Auxiliary Corps, and the WAVES were created, Women's Auxiliary Volunteer Emergency Services. WAVES are Navy, WAC is Army. Again, they're part of the reserve components. Now they're allowed to do things like, but they're volunteers and they're auxiliary.
Mm-hmm.
But part of the reserve components of the auxiliary to the reserve, okay? Now women are allowed to do things like mail clerks, fly airplanes for mail drops, administrative, secretarial, that kind of thing. But they still weren't recognized as women of the military unless they were medical through the Women's Army Nursing Corps. 1948 changed all that. 1948 recognized those women as women of the military. Went back through history. Big names, Clara Barton, Molly Pritcher, Harriet Tubman, most known for her role with the Underground Railroad, was a Union spy. I think it was it was under the Clinton administration, so 93, 96, somewhere in that time frame, Harriet Tubman was recognized as a woman of the military. and her family, surviving family members years later, were given her medals and honors and so forth.
Wow.
So, but that was from 1948. November 3rd, 2022, Pennsylvania became the 14th state to recognize June 12th as a state holiday, deeming it Women Veterans Day in recognition of Truman's legislation. Team Jennifer Cahill Charities was the first organization to host an event last year, 2023, would have been the first one. We hosted that in Lancaster, by the Lancaster Airport.
Oh, yeah, I know where you're at.
Last year's expo, well, this year's expo, 2024, was held in Gettysburg. Next year's expo will be held in Gettysburg also. June 14th, which is also the Army's 250th birthday. We are the oldest branch in the service.
Whoa, okay.
The expo is set up to showcase resources that are available for women veterans. All veterans, but really putting the emphasis on the services that they have available for women veterans.
Mm-hmm.
We have a couple of speakers coming in, tell their stories and what they do and what they did, how they got to where they are, and what they're doing today with some of those resources. And we have members from the VA coming to talk about mental health, the strides that the VA has made in women's health and women's care, and suicide prevention. And, of course, highlighting, touching on the MST issue, which we're bringing awareness to MST, that's military sexual trauma, which affects 1 in 3 women veterans, 1 in 50 male veteran.
Really?
Yep.
1 in 3, 1 in 50. And I feel like that is something that is not talked about or not known to the public, you know. Yeah. Because I picture, you know, you're in the service, you're in the military, you're on the same team. You know, you're fighting the bad guys, but here there's people amongst your ranks that are not maybe the best, you know.
Right.
To me, that's just, it's awful.
It is.
What is the mission statement? What is the goal?
We had a vision to be there for all female veterans when they need us. And we've expanded their mission now to include MST awareness, suicide prevention and awareness.
Mm-hmm.
We have a domestic violence program as well, that if a woman veteran going through that, the VA refers to it as intimate partner violence. I don't like the political correct term. I'm sorry.
Right, right.
Domestic violence is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
That woman veteran gets to us. We have immediate safe haven for her. And we can get her plugged into other resources that better suit her need over the course of the next 3 days.
That's phenomenal.
We believe strongly that community is a place that healing begins. So the vision that I have is Women Veteran Ladies Nights. A Women Veteran Ladies Night, I would be the only male in the room because of some of the issues that we're dealing with are very sensitive. I've heard of MST cases that are that extreme with the PTSD that has come from it that they'll go to check out at a grocery store. There's a male behind the register. And they'll drop their groceries and walk out and not even pay for them because they just don't want to deal with men because the assault was so bad, viewed that way, that all men are like this. And these ladies served this country just like I did.
To me, it's awful that they had to go through that.
Acknowledging some of the issues that these ladies face, a lot of women don't identify as a veteran. You ask them if you served in the military, they'll say yes, but if you ask them if they're a veteran, they'll say no. There's a bunch of myths that are out there that they had to be deployed, they had to be in combat, that kind of stuff, and that's not true.
Yeah.
If they served in the military, they are a veteran, and they have benefits available to them. And we want to make sure that every woman veteran knows the resources that are available, the benefits that the VA has available, and how to get in touch and get those benefits for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do with our Women Veterans Day, is we that expo is there to get those resources showcased and have those benefits available to them. We have VSOs that are on site that can start the claim process that day. So yeah, it's had a pretty big impact on a lot of women veterans, and that's something that I'm very proud of that we're able to do. And next year we have a couple of speakers that are coming in that are, you know, pretty powerful women, and I'm looking forward to hearing more about their stories. They're very matter of fact about it, and
yeah,
I'm excited. I met one woman that I met, Kathleen De Silva, Kathleen Sylvia. Excuse me. I went to school with some De Silvas. Name's pretty close. So, yeah. Kathleen Sylvia, she served United States Army. If I recall right, she held the rank of major.
Wow.
She was part of the first co-ed graduating class from West Point. There's a living, breathing piece of history.
Yeah.
She is the state ambassador for the Women's Memorial in Arlington National Cemetery, which my wife has been put on that memorial. Excuse me. Quite an honor. She's a phenomenal woman. She's also a big part of why we're doing what we're doing, whether she knows it or not. Some of the things that she shared with me, I'm not going to go into, obviously, but some of the things that she shared with me really drive home why we are here and what we are trying to do. So I also met the first woman drill sergeant, the Pennsylvania Army National Guard, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
The first
woman drill sergeant for the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. The Army National Guard, they set up a 2-week basic training prior to basic training, just to get the drills and left face, right face, go over the kind of basics, you know, polishing the, well, they don't polish boots anymore, I guess, but
yeah.
I guess now they brush them. But, you know, we had to polish our boots and uniforms had to be right.
Look sharp, look presentable, right? Yeah. Probably, yeah, yeah.
The, you know, marching and the cadences and, you know, being in step and, you know, all that drill and ceremony stuff. They kind of teach that stuff. So there's a little bit of a head start when you're getting into basic training and to get you kind of acclimated to PT and all that fun stuff.
Yeah.
But I met the first woman drill sergeant for the Pennsylvania Army National Guard. I mean, these things are just really cool.
Oh, for sure.
I did meet Myrtle Council. She served 1944 to 1946 as one of the waves.
Holy cow.
She's telling stories about the blackouts in New York, and she told a story about her time in the service that she was going to see family, took a train. The train went through Canada. Because the train went through Canada, she got hazard pay. She got in trouble for that because they weren't supposed to be traveling outside the U.S.
Yeah.
It was a funny story. We lost Mabel, I guess September of last year. She was 99. She's 99 years old.
99 years old. Wow. Yeah. What a life.
And what a pistol. Wow.
A pistol. I believe it. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she had given us permission and she, you know, to talk about her and, you know, share some of that, you know, that little things like that.
Yeah.
But she was taking care of the mail for the, I think it was the Eastern, the entire Eastern Atlantic Fleet.
Wow. No pressure. So, yeah, you know, no pressure. Wow.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
But she was.
Excuse me.
She was a pistol, sharp as a tack, and But unfortunately, we lost her last year. Just I guess it was just before Christmas we lost her. We were able to feature her at our first Women Veterans Day Expo, which was just awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody that was there was on their feet when we got to introduce her. We got to wrap her in a blanket for the United States Navy and with Blankets of Honor. Blankets of Honor is a phenomenal organization. They've given a lot of support to us. So I want to put the plug out for them. The American Legion is phenomenal. They're making strides in the way of women veterans and women veterans committees and things like that to help improve the VA to be more attractive to the woman who served. And that's a question that I keep asking is what can we do to have these women feel comfortable in these establishments? So it may make people mad, but it gets it out there.
Yeah.
Because women serve too. You know, when we're talking about cancer, 20 million veterans nationwide. 10% are women veterans, 2 million out of 20, roughly.
Yeah.
The cancer statistic is for every 100,000 veterans, 505.8 are diagnosed with some kind of cancer annually. Dumbing that down a little bit, use a round number, 500.
Mm-hmm.
30%, that's 150 out of every 500 are women veterans. That's 30%.
Yeah.
And when we start talking about the mental health issues, the post-traumatic stress, stemming from MST, 47% of the homeless women veteran population is MST connected.
Wow.
And when you're dealing with MST, obviously you have the PTS going on. There's mental health issues that come in. We get into the suicide rates. The woman veteran, a statistic that just released this year, mm-hmm. just came out in March in the annual report. The woman veteran's 166% more likely to attempt suicide than other women in the same age group that are not veterans. The male veteran's at 43%. A statistic released, a study done in 2020-2021 timeframe, showed a 24.1% increase in women veteran suicide compared to a 6.3% increase in the male counterpart and a 2.3% increase in non-women veterans nationwide. And what blows my mind...
Please, yeah.
More than 50% of women veteran suicide is done with firearm, which is unheard of in women's suicide.
For the listeners and anyone out there that's listening that might want to help, to donate or give their time, how can they do it? Where can they go?
One of the biggest things to do, you know a veteran, ask him how they're doing. Take interest. Take the time. And they say, oh, I'm fine. Say, no, really, I want to know what's going on. How are you doing?
Yeah.
Take the time to listen. Do something. Take them out to eat. Take them for a cup of coffee, whatever. Yeah, just spend time. Take the time. Take the interest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things they can do. You know, I personally, and Team Jennifer Cahill Charities also, wants everybody to know you are not alone. The VA Crisis Hotline, I don't have that phone number.
I'll put it in the show notes.
I hope you can get it in there.
Yep.
Don't have that phone number right off the top of my head, but you know, the crisis line, it works. It helps.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out. And now it's about recognizing women's services. A lot of women, and the reason that women don't want to identify or don't like to identify as a veteran, or
why is that?
Passed over for rank, thrown into jobs that they weren't trained for,
mm-hmm.
Constantly being dismissed, demeaned, and undermined. Well, what's the point? Why did I serve? I've talked to a few women veterans that their time in the service was great, but I've talked to a lot of women veterans that they had those issues. And I want every woman veteran to know that the VA is here. Team Jennifer Cahill Charities is here. And one of the things that we will help do is get you in contact with the VA reps, get that paperwork started, get you in contact with the VSOs, and you know, point you in the direction. And if need be, I will go with you to that VSO and do a proper introduction and say, this is, you know, so-and-so veteran. She served at this time. Wanted to get her plugged in with you.
Yeah.
And then I'll walk out and let them have their conversation and do what they need to do. And then I'll, you know, take the walk back to the car with them and get them back home or wherever it is they go.
Right.
We also have a few other women veterans that are willing to assist in transportation and that kind of stuff, which is, it's safer and it's better.
Yeah.
You know, we do have a policy that if it's a woman veteran and only one of us is available, there's got to be two.
Because, good policy,
you know, because you need
two be safe. People. Yeah.
Yeah. Safety in numbers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know, we that's something that we need to adhere to. And now, years, well, this is 4 years into it, I've met, I don't know how many women veterans, impacted in ways that I never thought possible.
Mm-hmm.
Bike Week, Gettysburg is one of our, Battlefield Harley-Davidson's one of our biggest supporters.
Okay.
So yeah, I got to put the shout out to them. Freeburn Law, they've been a huge supporter. Dick Freeburn is phenomenal individual. He's been a huge supporter of ours. We've had a lot of help and support from the Northern Lancaster County Chamber of Commerce and the businesses that are in there. Thinking of the different places. The Utter Choice, UTTR, Utter, Utter Choice in Ephrata. They're started out as an ice cream shop.
Well, see, I've been there. I know where you're at. Good food.
Yep. They've shown their support to us. Heather's Design and Printing. They're over Wrightsville Way.
Okay.
They've been doing a lot of our T-shirts and things, and Kristen's Printing in New Holland. They've both done a lot. The American Legions have shown a lot of support, as have the VFWs and the AMVETs. And as far as the question, going back to that of volunteering, reach out anytime.
Yeah.
You know, the phone numbers, I'm sure, are going to be on the list. I have the brochures that I brought here that you can set upstairs and hand out.
Definitely will, yes.
Some of the cards. I really think this is cool. It's Linktree. So it's linktr.ee/TJCC.
Okay.
So that's our Linktree site. The new logo that we have, you know, it's the shield. The shield is their service and protection to our country. The silhouette of the woman veteran is encased inside that shield. They protected us for so long and looked out for us. We want to look out for them. The six branches of the service are the stars.
Okay. Yeah.
And that teal ribbon. Teal represents MST. It also represents suicide prevention and awareness. And it's not that it's a woman's cancer, but it is a prostate. It represents prostate cancer as well. So we have a cancer ribbon, which is the point, a cancer ribbon,
mm-hmm.
that has meaning for MST awareness and suicide prevention and mental health, all wrapped into one place.
Yeah.
So that's our logo. I do volunteer my time for this organization, being the co-founder and the executive director of operations. It's been an honor and privilege. I would love for this organization to be given to women veterans, that they could take it over, and I can slip back into that co-founder role and watch these ladies take care of themselves. There is healing in numbers. There is power in numbers. And to help these women veterans create that community among themselves, I believe is very, very important. I had a discussion with a woman veteran who served in the Marine Corps prior to last year's Women Veterans Day Expo, having that same conversation. Women by nature have a different set of mental, spiritual, emotional, social, and psychological needs than what men do. Mm-hmm. It's a fact. If we're not approaching on all five of those points, we're missing a key element that could start that woman veteran's journey to healing or wellness overall.
Yeah.
So we want to show support for all of that. And to get that in place, help create that community so that they can have that social aspect.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. Yeah. And on air, I wanted to thank you for the gift here. I don't know, are these available to purchase on your website or how?
Yes, it's a $10 donation.
Okay.
I only have a few of those left. I have a couple of branches left.
Yeah.
Liz Sweeney. I'm going to put her plug out there.
Do it. Yeah,
she works for Pure Clean.
Okay.
Which is another fantastic organization. She put these together for us. First round was as a donation. We've got to put an order in for them for next year.
Yeah.
You know, for our bike week event at Gettysburg, we got invited to Battlefield Harley-Davidson. I started talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
They are a fantastic dealership, fantastic group of people. We were able to recognize 43 women veterans through the course of a week at Gettysburg Bike Week last year.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're looking forward to meeting more,
Definitely,
maybe
yeah.
seeing some of the same faces. And last year they said that they would let us know because a couple of them would want to come in and sit in the booth and hang out with us for a day.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I'm hoping that can come to fruition.
Before we close out, is there anything else you'd like to talk about that I might have missed or we might have missed?
I just want to say thank you to all the veterans that served. Thank you to the ones that are serving today. And I want to give a special appreciation and thanks to all the women who serve, past, present, and future. Women do serve, and I'm a firm believer that the women that serve this country are the backbones of our future military and the future of this country. If not for women's services to this country, I don't know where I'd be. I don't know where a lot of the male veterans that I talk to that were injured, combat, whatever, they tell the stories of the women veterans that took care of them.
Yeah.
With that bedside manner, that nurturing, that caring nature, it's appreciated. It's valued. Thank you for your service and welcome home to those who are coming home or just got home.
Yeah. Mike, I couldn't agree more. You know, thank you to all the veterans, all the military service members. Thank you for everything. I'm going to close it up if you're good, Mike.
Thank you very much for having me.
Mike Cahill, U.S. Army, Pennsylvania Army, National Guard veteran, and Executive Director of Operations, volunteer for Team Jennifer Cahill Charities. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you again.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. To see photos of today's guests and more content, just search American Grown Podcast on Facebook and Instagram.
If you'd like to be a featured guest on the podcast, please direct message or email Austin at AmericanGrownPod@gmail.com.
This episode was brought to you by these sponsors.
Modern Gent Customs is your go-to for all your custom apparel and headwear needs. From individuals to businesses, with no minimums or design fees ever, inquire today at info@moderngentcustoms.com.
Cleona Coffee Roasters is a small batch coffee roastery and coffee shop. Veteran and first responder owned, community oriented, and roasted fresh to order. Now open inside 911 Rapid Response, Anvil, PA. Go to CleonaCoffeeRoasters.com to order online, see updated hours, and find where you can buy it close to you.
triggered 22 LLC, a veteran-owned apparel company. By purchasing a t-shirt, hat, or hoodie from Triggered 22, you're not only supporting a small business, but you're bringing awareness to veteran PTSD and suicide. Please help save the lives of those who fought for our freedoms. Visit triggered22.com now and place your order. Let's help those suffering from invisible wounds today.